My guest today is Noel Burgess. He's one of the few Black travel writers in the nation. Noel wrote an article for Travel Southern Oregon, which is an initiative of the Southern Oregon Visitors Association based in Talent. The article is titled, A 72-Hour Guide to Southern Oregon Wine Country, A Journey of Discovery, Connection, and Inclusion. Noel joins the exchange to share insights from his three-day experience exploring Southern Oregon's wine region. Welcome, Noel.
Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate you having me. Happy Friday Eve.
Oh, thank you. Before we get into what prompted you to visit our neck of the woods, let's learn a little bit about you. Tell us about your background, your journey, how you became a travel writer.
Absolutely. So I grew up in the Northeast in Connecticut, or as some people like to call New York Light, because I'm from Stamford, Connecticut. Moved out to California about 10 years ago. At that point, never really had a thing for wine, never purchased a bottle of wine for myself. And then I remember going to a winery maybe about 3 years after I moved to California, and I was just really intrigued about the environment, about the product, how it brought people together. So you fast forward maybe about 6 or 7 years, and during the pandemic, like a lot of us, I was having difficulty. And one of the ways that I was able to, you know, really get out there and still interact with people was to go to wineries, because in California, wineries were open as long as you sat outside. So, Mike, I like to joke that I don't get California cold. So it's, you know, it's March, it's about 50 degrees. And I said, hey, I could sit at one side of the table, you could sit at the other, and we can have a conversation. And that soon evolved into me writing about my experience, making sure that others that look like me in my community are going to be comfortable with being at wineries and being at some of these more elevated or luxury type of experiences.
Well, I'm not a wine drinker myself, but I'm married to a wine drinker. And so I end up at wineries from time to time. But I don't see a lot of folks that look like you and me at wineries. Why is that?
I think wine was just something that was very niche, very exclusive. There is a higher cost to it. So depending on your socioeconomic status, it's not always available to you. It's not always marketed to you. So I think that's why it's a big reason why, you know, wine in, you know, BIPOC communities is just something that's not prevalent. So I think that's changing now that you're seeing some of the marketing and access to these type of events and experiences being more broad, that you're seeing more individuals that look like us that are in these areas.
So there's more exposure and there's more of a cultural feel that's being adopted?
I believe so. I mean, I'm going to be 45 years old. So I think, you know, obviously you and I can't speak for all Black people, but I think there was just a sense of, you know, it wasn't part of our community. It wasn't part of our vernacular to drink wine. In a lot of ways, it wasn't a coolness factor, or maybe, you know, I can speak, you know, a little bit about, you know, where I grew up, where, you know, you were, how do I put it, less Black, or you were selling out if you did certain things. And I think wine fell into that category because for the most part, you saw white males, you know, drinking the product. So, but I think that's evolved in a lot of ways where there's not a sense of, you know, being less of your community for trying these products. And then, like I said, I think the marketing has become more sophisticated where, you know, the Black dollar is estimated at $2, $3 trillion in the United States. So, you know, from a pure business standpoint, those that own wineries are missing a big chunk of the economy. So I think those things combined have really helped individuals that look like us to be more involved with it.
So how did Southern Oregon pop up on your radar?
So there's a PR rep that represents Southern Oregon, Emily Hibden, and we've become good friends over the last few years. And she really was a deciding factor. I remember when she came to me with it, you know, Southern Oregon, and, you know, I raised that proverbial eyebrow and I was like, I'm not sure, right? Because all the stereotypes or the things that I think of when I think of Southern Oregon is people that don't necessarily look like me in abundance in that area. So we had a real conversation about, you know, I'm going to say it as plainly as I, you know, said it to her, to you, you know, I'm not sure about going in that area because, you know, I think you and I are of, you know, similar generations where, you know, my thought was, and I'm being a little tongue in cheek, you know, is Mrs. Voorhees going to come out of the forest, you know, in this rural era and there's going to be some issue, right?
Right.
I was just like, I don't know about this. But she's like, no. She's like, you're gonna be fine. And you know, as I thought more and more about it, I'm like, okay, wine is a connector. You know, my mission really is to make sure that people that look like us are comfortable in these areas, and then also spread the love for wine in general. So I'm like, you know, basically, you got to put your money where your mouth is, and you need to go up here and experience it and give it a try. So that's how it ended up coming to be.
Well, I'm really glad you did have a chance to come visit our beautiful neck of the woods. But your concerns are not unwarranted because Oregon does have a history. I mean, when we joined the Union in 1859, it was put in the Constitution that black people were not allowed here. It was really illegal to be black in Oregon. And, where other places around the country had sundown towns, Oregon had a sundown state. So, you know, even here in southern Oregon, we've got a mountain that was called the Inward Mountain. So there's a history there. And the KKK was concentrated here, the largest concentration west of the Mississippi. So there's a history here. But Oregon has evolved. So I've been here 20 years. And I can tell you, I've seen some of that evolution myself. What concerns or reservations did you have about visiting our particular wine region?
So again, you know, the only place in Portland, in Oregon that I have been is Portland area. And Portland is, you know, what I think is the largest city in Oregon as far as population. So I think, you know, usually the big cities in most states tend to be different than the rural areas. So I didn't even know what constituted, you know, Southern Oregon. Like, I'd never heard of Medford or Ashland or some of these other areas. I did know of the Rogue Valley because of wine, but honestly, like, I didn't know the towns that it actually encompassed. So, you know, for me, it was just, you know, looking up, doing my research and seeing, you know, the black population, the Hispanic population, looking at some articles, like you just mentioned. I knew a lot of the history of Oregon, which essentially was set up as, you know, as a white haven that didn't allow other communities back when it was incorporated, right? And a lot of that history is still prevalent today. So there was just a lot of, you know, trepidation. But like I said, I wanted to give it a chance. I didn't want to be that person that just went off of rumor or solely other people's speculation or maybe their expertise. So that's why I ended up, you know, traveling up there and checking out the wine region.
My guest is Noel Burgess, a black travel writer who wrote A 72-Hour Guide to Southern Oregon Wine Country, A Journey of Discovery, Connection, and Inclusion, published by Travel Southern Oregon. So, Noel, how did you map out an itinerary for a three-day excursion here?
So, when I was talking with Emily, the PRF for Southern Oregon, you know, we just had a conversation about what we wanted to do. So, obviously, wine had to be a big part of it. But my thing was, when we got into the wine part of it, is I just don't want to go to the biggest wineries possible. And I want to go to some, I know hidden gems is used a lot these days, but I wanted to go to those undiscovered places. I also wanted to go to places that the owners or the vibe felt more younger. And then also, I really wanted to understand like what their mission was. You know, sustainability, I think sometimes when we think about that, it's only environmental, and we forget about the social part of sustainability. So looking up some wineries, you know, Dancing was one that came to mind. I saw that they're very, very philanthropic. You know, looking at the reviews, that I could see that millennials and younger Gen X individuals are leaving reviews and talking about how open they are, how they, you know, their thought process when it comes to wine and events. So Dancing was one that came up immediately. Also, I like that it was very close to the airport, and I think that's an important, you know, thing to mention, because to be able to get off a flight and then be there basically within 10 minutes, I thought that would also be great for my article as well. Also, when it came to restaurants like Blue Toba, who's owned by Southeast Asian gentlemen, that was extremely important because, again, to be able to show people of color and people that are not originally from the United States, I want to make sure we show that type of diversity, because in my opinion, sir, I think when we think of diversity in this country, the low-hanging fruit is gender and race, and we don't think about all the other categories. So that was extremely important to me when, like, constructing my itinerary. Also, to be able to go down to, and I can't remember the name of the park, it's in Ashland.
Lithia Park.
I saw on the Yes. And I saw that they had a Black Lives Matter, like not a monument, but just they had like T-shirts across the fence and were showing all the individuals in the country that ended up being killed during, you know, the last 2 years. It was like, we have to visit that park. So, you know, those type of things were really involved in the production of my itinerary.
So tell me about some of your experiences here. Who did you meet? How'd you feel? I know you went to Lithia Park. That was one of your excursions. That's a beautiful park that is here in Ashland. You visited the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. That's world renowned.
I did.
Tell me about some of your experiences.
Well, the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I mean, I'm not a huge Shakespeare fan, but I do know. I've read some of his works, and I've seen Much Ado About Nothing. And that, for me, I think that's one of the original romantic comedies. If you've ever seen it, but I was intrigued to hear that it's a mostly Black cast. So I was like, that's something, and I know that's a big part of Southern Oregon's culture is the Shakespeare Festival that happens every year. So I wanted to see that in play. Also, there were a few restaurants like Harana Cafe, which is owned by a Filipino mother and son. And then I didn't want my entire trip to be about wine. So looking at Tap and Vine, which is in downtown Medford, they have a secret speakeasy that I thought was interesting. I know you read the article, but I really loved how when I was walking with the owner, and he's from San Francisco Bay Area, so I was like, okay, I have to meet him. And we walked into this barbershop, and I remember the guy at the barbershop, you know, was basically saying like, hey, can I give you a cut? And I'm like, hey, no one touches my hair. And then he's like, opens the door to the Secret Butterfly Club, and that really was a fun moment. But everybody, you know, that I talked to there was very kind, very open, very, very thoughtful. Answered all my questions when I asked them point blank, like, what's your thoughts about diversity, and whether they were Black or not, from their community, they just talked about how the area is very inviting, but there's still some work to be done.
What prompted you to visit the Say Your Names Memorial in the Railroad Park in Ashland?
Well, as someone from the Black community, I think it's important to recognize these type of events and experiences. I was extremely touched because, not to make oversweeping, analyses, but, you know, it's not shocking to see something like that in Oakland or Baltimore, where the population is mostly Black. But to see that in a place that just doesn't have a high concentration of African Americans or racial diversity was important. But I think what was more important was when I was researching and saw that there were some individuals in the area that weren't comfortable with that and ended up ripping those down. And to me, the response by the town was to put them back up, to me, showed where Southern Oregon is. Because it's one thing to allow that in the beginning, but then when you reach some, you know, when you have some adversity, and, you know, I could easily see someone saying like, okay, we try this, we're not going to do it again. But for them to allow to put those back up a second, and I believe a third time after someone vandalized that, to me shows how far the culture there has come.
Absolutely. What was some of the best wine and where?
I'm biased, so I think every place that I picked was really great. Dancing, I really enjoyed. There was a Pinot there that I enjoyed very much. I'm a Pinot guy. I live down in Sonoma County, so Sonoma County Pinot to me is the best in the world, but this came really close. Weisinger had some Tempranillo, which I think is such a underrated wine in general. I think the casual wine drinker doesn't really know about it. Usually it's, you know, it's Cab, it's Sauv Blanc, it's Chardonnay, but Tempranillo for sure. And then I was so excited to go out to the Creamery because for me, I really love cheese. And I always forget, like, Rogue Valley Creamery is not too far from me. So between that and Mount Tam, those are my favorite type of cheeses. So it was nice to be able to go there and meet some of the cows face to face.
Well, I'm glad you had a great time here. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment. Thank you for visiting our neck of the woods.
Perfect. Thank you for having me, sir.